Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, bless me, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, and looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susie. Well, let's pray and then let's have a look at this text together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Simeon and Anna, for the incredible example they set for us. And as we begin this new year together, Lord, I pray that we might learn from them. Amen. Well, we were at pre-service talking about New Year's resolutions, and it seems like, from our comments, that most of you, we're all in the same camp. Perhaps it's not something that we're overly kind of hugely enthusiastic about this year. People's mileage will vary. I know one or two folks who are awesome at New Year's resolutions and seeing them through. Me, it's not something I typically do. I'm terrible at making them stick. But there is one resolution that I can always get behind and that I always make to myself at this time of year. And that is a resolve to grow in my faith each year. Now, by that, what do I mean to grow in my faith? Well, look, I think it means I want to try and get to know Jesus a little bit better so that I can recognize him more easily when he's present in my and at work in my life. And so that I can see again a little bit more easily where he's guiding me, where he's showing me the things to focus on, the things to work on. And of course, I suppose the flip side of that is that by the very nature of my job as a priest, is that I want to help others to do the same as well. I want to grow and I want to see the people that I have the privilege of serving and leading grow as well. Now, what that might that look like in practice? Well, as I said in my prayer, Simeon and Anna are just the two most beautiful examples for us to learn from of how we can grow in faith, because they are people who have been soaked in their relationship with God over a lifetime. And there's lots of practical stuff for us to take away. And as I was reading and thinking about this text this week, the question that kept popping into my mind was, well, how did they recognize that Jesus was something special? How did they know that he wasn't just another baby? Because I'd imagine babies were brought to the temple for circumcision, which is in accordance with Jewish custom. I mean, quite literally by the thousands, maybe even tens of thousands each year. Simeon, Anna, they would have seen thousands upon thousands of babies year in, year out as part of the warp and weft of temple life. And yet, how did they know that Jesus was no ordinary baby, but someone special? Well, I think the answer is very simple. They recognized God in human form in Jesus because they knew God so well. They knew him so well that they could recognize something of him when he was right there in front of them. How did they do that? Well, again, I don't really think it's a deep mystery. You know, with most things faith-based, we sometimes think there's like a magical secret we need to unlock to grow as Christians. But the truth is, it's actually simple stuff that we learn and put into our lives. And for Simeon and Anna, it's just that. It is a combination of lots of ordinary practices that are open to any of us to do as well. All of us listening here, all of us can be like Simeon and Anna. All of us can follow their example. So let's take a look firstly at Simeon. Well, the first thing we hear is that he was righteous and devout, and he was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Well, this tells us a couple of things about him. Firstly, that he had clearly developed deep rhythms of time with God in his life. He was righteous. He had let God's teaching in Scripture shape his life. He was devout. Again, that implies that those rhythms of life were regular patterns of prayer, of worship, of learning and studying the scriptures with others. And he was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He was someone who knew what God had promised in scripture through the prophets, that being that God would one day act to restore his people Israel. And again, you're only going to know about that if you've read it, if you've studied, if you've learned and worshipped and prayed. Well, perhaps that's a question for us, isn't it? Do we have some of those rhythms of prayer, Bible reading, learning with others? Do we have some of those rhythms embedded as part of our lives? You know, our job as a church is to resource you to build those into your life so that you can grow. It's at the heart of our vision, isn't it? Is we want to be transformed by Jesus. Well, the way we do that is to support one another and help one another to develop, to grow as disciples. And then we read about Simeon that the Holy Spirit rested on him. And remember, this is before Pentecost, this is before the Spirit was available to everyone. And yet Simeon had practices in place. Yes, he prayed, he read the scriptures. But here's the key. In all of that, he was open to God's guidance through the Holy Spirit. He didn't study it academically. It wasn't something he was interested in. There was a living, live component to his relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. And of course, that Holy Spirit that rested on Simeon is the same Spirit that lives inside each of us, in every Christian. The second we say yes to following Jesus with our lives, the Spirit comes into us. And that same Holy Spirit can guide us too. Again, perhaps a good kind of like little question to ask ourselves at the beginning of this year. Are we asking God to guide us by his Spirit? Are we praying about the everyday stuff of life and trying to seek God's best plan in that? Or are we just trying to make it up ourselves? That's a little bit about Simeon and some of the things we see in his life that we can do too. And then we have Anna, one of these mighty women in the Bible, a prophet in her own right, which in and of itself is an unusual thing in those times. But that means she was someone who was open to listening to what God had to say and then sharing that with other people. Now we read a little bit of her life detail. She was widowed relatively young, And then she spent the rest of her life at the temple, which is the place where Jewish people believe God's presence to be. And what did she do over all those years that she devoted to being there? Well, she worshipped, she fasted, and she prayed night and day. We're seeing some similarities, right? It's about rhythms, patterns in her life that sustained her to grow her. Worship. We can all commit, can't we, to gather together to worship each week. Because actually that's a fantastic place to grow and to encounter God. And of course we are now blessed, aren't we, by the options of worshiping together. We can worship as we are doing this morning online. We can be in our building on a Sunday or a Wednesday. Or you can even catch up a little bit later online as well. And many of us mix and match in order to keep that weekly connection. And that's what I want to encourage you to do this year, to say, how can I worship every single week? How can I mix and match? Maybe I'll have a preference. Maybe I'll prefer being in the building or prefer being online. But how can I mix and match those things together so that every week I'm making space to worship with other Christians? Do you know, there's no longer in this emerging new year, there's no longer an online or in-person divide. The reality is that that is now just church, and church is as blended as the rest of our lives. So we now have no reason not to gather together. And are also engaged in spiritual disciplines, fasting and prayer. You know, what spiritual disciplines do you have as a regular part of your life? I mean, obviously we want to start with prayer and the Bible each day. That is our baseline as Christians. That's the fundamental building block of any relationship with Jesus, is to read the scriptures and to pray, speak to God each day. But perhaps, actually, this year, you need to step it up a bit. Perhaps you need to go beyond. Perhaps fasting or another spiritual discipline is going to be the key to unlock further growth. So whatever resolutions you may or may not, as the case may be, have made for 2023, I want to suggest one for us all. And that is that we commit as a church family to grow in our faith over the year ahead. That we might look again as a group and as individuals to go, how do we build in some of these rhythms that we see in Simeon and Anna into our own lives? How do we build up a good rhythm and pattern of prayer, of worship, of reading the scriptures, of studying with others, of serving, of spiritual disciplines? And I guess my resolution to you as the church leader is that as a whole church, we want to commit wholeheartedly to support you in that process this year. I want to make sure, and you can hold me accountable to this, that we give you more opportunities to grow, pitched at exactly where you are right now, whether that's kind of the beginning of a journey of a relationship with Jesus or way, way, way down the track, having known him many years. As I teased earlier this morning, we're going to start the new year with a brand new resource to help us do exactly that. We're going to be looking at this incredible book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I would say this is probably the most significant book for my own spiritual growth that I have read in the last 3 or 4 years. It is a life-changing read in helping us navigate what it really is to be a Christian in the world in which we live, not in some abstract, wonderful place where we all have hours and hours of free time type thing. It combines so many of the things that I've been speaking about this morning that we saw in the life of Simeon and Anna, and yet it says, here's how you do this in the reality of busy modern life. There's been more details to come on this this week, but perhaps your resolution, perhaps your commitment to grow is going to be to come and join us on this journey as we study this together and allow it to help us to grow and be shaped by Christ. But let's start this morning in prayer. Let's start by committing ourselves afresh to that journey this year to grow in our faith. So that when we do our looking back this time next year, we say, do you know what? I know Jesus that little bit better. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Simeon and Anna. Thank you for the example of how they lived their lives and how that drew them closer to you. and how they knew you so well that they could recognize you in a tiny little baby, that they could know that they were present with you simply because they knew you. Lord, that is our prayer, that we want to be like Simeon's and Anna's. Lord, we want those rhythms in our life that enable us to see you. Lord, we want to be able to see you in our workplaces, we pray. We want to see you in our family lives. We want to see you in our commutes, in our friendships, in our relationships. We want to be able to recognize your presence in our lives more. Lord, help us, we pray, as we offer ourselves to you. Lord, may you water us. May your Holy Spirit rest upon us. May we be open to what you have for us. We pray, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.